Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, Brother John. How you doing, buddy?
Doing real good. Doing real good. Looking forward to a simmering hot weekend in Chicago, but it'll be good.
Well, it's insane here, John. The weather is absolutely nuts. We are not even going to reach 90 today.
Ooh.
Yeah, right now it's 75 degrees, and the whole time we'll be talking, it'll stay 75 degrees, and the humidity is, get ready for it, 90%.
Ooh.
Yeah, see what I'm saying?
Yeah, so it can cut it, even though it's going to be cooler, it's going to be pretty thick, that air.
It's going to be just like good old St. Louis, where I'm going to feel, when I go outside this morning, I'm going to feel like the old days when we went caddying at Sunset Country Club in June. In June. Remember that?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Wow. You could even see the humidity sometimes on the golf course.
Yeah, I just had a wave with just that when they were maybe spraying a green or something like that.
Yeah.
The little mist would seem to stay in the air forever.
And you smell it. You'd smell it, too. It had a smell. Golf courses, of course, have a smell.
But here it's going to get up to, it's going to be hot all weekend. It's going to be up to low 90s today, mid-90s tomorrow, away from the lake. Here it's going to be maybe 5 degrees less. And, you know, everybody, if you watch TV, the weather's sensationalized here. I like to look at it as it'll be like you just said, it's going to be a retro. It'll be a retro weather for me. It's like I'll be back in St. Louis like I was in the 60s and 70s.
Wow.
Enjoying, embracing the humidity.
Okay. Well, you got the right approach. There's only one way to go with a deal like this. If you don't embrace it, it's going to crush you.
Yeah. You don't repel it. You're wasting so much energy.
Oh, it's crazy. You know, you just have to get into it. The sweating.
Yeah.
Your clothes clinging to you. Just embrace it. You know, hey, this is it.
Let those pores open. That's the way I look at it.
Hey, Sweat Lodge, you got me.
yeah, you're right. I mean,
yep. Preach it to the choir, as they say.
Oh, yes.
So. Okay, well, I'm pretty excited about today. We got an interesting sponsor, and we've got some other stuff. But before we get into that, which shirt are you wearing?
I'm wearing, as usual, I don't take any chances. I put my shirt on yesterday, and I've got the original. The reason I got the original on... Ooh. The original Bro Show shirt is because I try to sometimes coordinate what I'm wearing, and I had a dark pullover jersey, a White Sox jersey on yesterday, and I needed to have something underneath it that was dark, and this fit the bill.
Okay, so it's a mismatching in color and in wardrobe thing.
Yeah, it was. That's what got me. You know, I knew that I had to put that shirt on like yesterday because I would get up this morning. And all of a sudden, you'd say, what shirt am I wearing? And I'd think, I hope it's on. I hope it's on. And I'd have to look down. I don't want to take any chances. So I prepare. No.
Yeah, I do the same thing. I always wear the shirt I'm wearing for the show the day before or night before at least. And since you ask, I'm wearing the most recent, well, not the most recent, actually. I'm wearing the Clark Street April 21st live. People really like this one. I'm out in public. People read it. They look at it. They ask questions.
I've got
this one's red. Mine's red.
Yes,
mine's red.
Well, that guitar on the front of it is always an eye-catching question, asking thing. So that's really good to have that shirt on. I've gone through the same thing. People come up to me and say, "Wow, do you play guitar?" No, but
my brother does.
Mm-hmm. And he's not playing guitar. He's playing the Chapman stick.
Yeah, that's close enough. A version thereof.
Yeah.
So you can get a great shirt like we're talking about at shirt.bro.show.
Ooh.
No .coms, no none of that crap. It's the very straightforward URL. And, of course, you can get our show at bro.show. You can catch up on what we're doing, see some of the beautiful images we put in our work. And all that good stuff. And, yeah, we got our sponsor real quick is, John, take it.
Well, I decided to do is our main part of the show is going to be on the World Cup. And the whole big business of any sport, every sport's a business. We know that. And the World Cup has got an incredible sponsorship list, and that's constantly evolving. It's very controversial.
We were able to get one of those? We got one of those sponsors, too?
No, we didn't. Yes, we did. Let's just say that the sponsorship will be embedded within our discussion of the World Cup, and let's just leave that as a tease and go from there.
Oh, very exciting. Now, people are going to say, we got a lot of non-sports fans who listen to this show. I will assure you, since I am not a sports fan, that this is going to be sports, but it's going to be fun and, more importantly, ridiculous. And, you know, we're going to focus on things nobody else focuses on. And we're going to help you if you do get caught up in the World Cup phenomenon. Because you listen to this show, you're going to be at home. And when I say caught up, that means people around you at work are talking about it. You will be able to look like another kind of fool than you otherwise would look like. Right, John?
I would say, yeah. I mean, we're interested in we're going to look at this as more of an event than a sport.
Yeah.
So
you're right.
It's a once every 4 years event. How you decide to participate in the event, we're going to give you what we consider to be a low profile, a low energy, low maintenance way of doing it, but still be semi-intelligent. I might be overstating it, but that's okay.
Semi, yeah, I'll go with semi. And we got a few follow-up items before we get into the main topic of FIFA.
Yeah.
FIFA.
Okay,
FIFA World Cup. It's the FIFA World Cup.
Yeah, if you're going to do a wiki of this, in World Cup, just put the FIFA in front, and that'll help you.
It will. Okay, follow-up.
John,
Milwaukee, as we all know.
Yeah, I made another trip up to Milwaukee on Wednesday to see some baseball, and it's tough to watch baseball when you're a mascot pursuer.
Aficionado, would that sound better?
Enthusiast? Yeah, I think
supporter.
So. Supporter of mascots. I consider them to be an integral part of the experience. And I was the last time unable to get a picture with Bernie, the Brewer. And it's really tantalizing because, see, Bernie, I'm watching the game, and Bernie's up there in his perch getting ready to kind of go down a slide if the Brewers hit a home run. Mm-hmm. And you see him, and I say, he's there. It's so tantalizing. So it's almost like you say, if I could just get to Bernie. But I was able to show remarkable restraint and continue to watch the game and not let that bother me that much.
You weren't shaking?
No.
Trembling, maybe?
Yeah,
sweating?
Sweating a little bit, but okay. I was in the shade. That helped.
I think you're making progress, by the way, John.
I am. I will be challenged again in the next couple of days when I go down to the south side to watch the White Sox. They've got Southpaw. As their mascot, and
well, that's near and dear to you because you are a Southpaw.
Yeah, so that's a tough one. And the problem with Southpaw is that he's on the field, so you're tempted to maybe join him, but that could result in being charged with a felony, and I don't think I'm ready for that.
No, you don't want to screw up your arrest record.
Yeah,
misdemeanors are enough, I think.
Right, I agree.
And by the way, I've got a baseball follow-up item myself.
Ooh.
Yeah. You weren't expecting this. It's not even on the outline.
In other words, you're throwing me a curve.
I'm throwing you a curve here. And, you know, John, I watched the soccer, you know, the FIFA World Cup stuff, Uruguay and some other damn country. And, you know, I like it. I do like soccer, actually. And we're going to talk a little about that in a moment. But you know, something happened deep inside of me, and I don't know how to really describe it. But, John, I felt the urge to watch baseball.
Are you okay?
I know. This is not right. This is not right
at all. I would suggest that you get your temperature taken, a lot of liquids, rest.
Okay. I will do that because you're my big brother and I have to do what you tell me. But above and beyond that, you're probably curious how I dealt with this feeling. And did I watch a game? No. Did I watch highlights? You know, I get that thing from the sports app you mm-hmm. told me to get, and it top 10 plays of the day or yep. something. I didn't even do that. Here's what I did, John. I spent an hour and a half doing something, and what I did was I watched Moneyball.
Moneyball?
I watched the movie Moneyball.
Well, that's a good movie.
At first, I didn't think I'd have to watch the movie, so I went on YouTube and just watched Moneyball clips. Guess what? It wasn't enough. So, there it is, John. My confession. Something's going on here. We're going to have to keep an eye on this. This is as bad as your mascot thing for me.
Oh, it is. It's definitely an aberrant behavior for you.
Absolutely.
It needs to be addressed. That's all I can say.
I really think it does. And I wouldn't say I'm worried, but I'm not telling my wife about this. Okay?
Yeah. It's a call right. only you can make.
All right. Well, okay, you got some news for us. There's other baseball this week that we should talk about.
Well, you know, we had a show almost a year ago dealing with congressional baseball that they do the annual game, charity game, at National Park in D.C. And, of course, it really hit the news last year when there was the shooting done at a practice of the Republican team. And Steve Scalise was the one congressman who was injured very, very bad. I mean, this guy's his life was on the thread. I mean, and there were moments even after during his recovery that he ran into infections, this and that, whatever. Well, Steve, we didn't hear a lot about him during this last year. We knew that he was making progress. He had been shot in the stomach and a couple other places.
Pelvis. So,
yeah,
his pelvis shattered.
Yeah, he did. So serious stuff.
He may be a brother for me. I mean, he may be. You know.
Okay. I get the idea.
Bagging it.
And so,
which I'm doing this very moment.
So the thing is that Thursday night they had the annual game, and Steve is at the point in his recovery where he can actually participate. He's nowhere near as mobile as he used to be. But what was amazing about it, it's like this thing, I don't know if they script this or not, but what happened was Steve played second base, and the first batter came up and hit a ground ball to Steve. He threw it over, got the out, and the place just went nuts.
Oh, I mean, man, that is so sweet.
It's like his teammates came and mobbed him. It was like a scrum. Then the opponents came and mobbed him, and then the crowd just went berserk.
That's so good.
It is. So the fact is that it's a big charity friendly match. We're so contentious right now and so fractionalized in terms of our parties.
Yeah.
There's nothing called compromise there anymore. So as a result, it's nice.
This
when
is
these
a big
guys,
deal.
Yeah, this is a big deal when they can finally.
We're starting to heal, John.
Okay, I hope this is part of it. I hope.
I think so. I hope so.
Well. So, you know, the results aren't that important. The Democrats won 21-5, but it's pretty well, if you look at the history of this thing, which goes back into the early 1900s, it's a pretty, you know, it's like 40-39 or something like that, the actual winners and losers, et cetera. So it's been a pretty good history of competition that they've had. So I just wanted to say that the what out of all this comes the fact, well, how's Steve doing? Steve is right now, he's mobile. He will never fully recover, but that means that he will have a limp the rest of his life. He'll have a cane for maybe longer walks.
For balance, maybe.
I watched the replay. I did not see, they didn't show the actual play he made, but he was out there without a cane. And standing up. So I feel good about Steve. He had, and I'll tell you, if there's a fighter, if there's a guy that was going to, he's one of these like rehab guys. They tell you to do things once, he does it three times. Sort of guy. So,
yeah.
So he's
our
a great
guy.
Yeah. So I just wanted to report on that.
Now, John, my understanding is that they play softball, kind of like a hard softball.
Well,
softball.
I don't know too much about the game itself. It's a slow-mo game. It's not what you call fast pitch or anything like that.
Yeah, well, that sounds like the kind of, you know, I think I could do that. And, you know, I've got this thing going on with baseball. So do you think I should run for office so I can play in that game?
That's what I would call a very shaky platform upon which to run. I think you ought to keep that in your hip pocket and not, and maybe come up with a few other planks for your platform before you expose that one. Okay.
Oh, that's really? Just don't lead with it. Don't lead
with
it.
Yeah, that's just the sage advice of your older brother.
Well, I have to take that. That's okay.
But
all right.
I would say that, yeah, you it's an attraction to participate in this game. And also, I want to give you another perhaps thing to think about. Let's look at a career path that'll get you there. Mm. And what you might consider doing is, because these the teams do practice, and the practice of they do bring in their assistants or whatever they call their staff. So the staff quite often. So if you're interested in actually being a part of the exercise, look at it. Maybe you don't have to reach all the way to the point. Maybe you just need to be hired by one of the congressmen, and then you can be part
as an aide,
congressional aide. And then you can be part of the practice. It's not going all the way, but it's a step in the right direction.
Well,
it
You got me thinking now. What's their situation with mascots, aside from the fact that you might stalk me? What's the situation?
They don't have a mascot. Hey, wait a minute. There's a career opportunity.
Yeah,
for you.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
That this is the Cliff Notes version of getting in there, maybe, huh? Mm. Which, you know, has a certain amount of appeal to me. Not as good as a classic comic book, but
bad. Oh God, that's another story. Oh well.
Yeah. Speaking of story, add an M to that, you've got what?
Stormy. Well,
how I love
our
you.
Namesake.
How I love you.
Yeah. Stormy. So Stormy Daniels, who this last during this weekend is performing at the Admiral Theater here in Chicago. She came into town for 5 shows, 1 Thursday and 2 last night, and she'll finish up tonight with 2 more. The shows have been sold out, but it's been a rough landing for Stormy because, unfortunately...
Wow. I'm sorry to hear this, by the way.
Because Thursday happened to be Trump's birthday. So as a result, what they wanted to do is the Admiral Theater wanted to kind of pitch this as a special event type thing. And they did some things to actually they were selling like front row seats for on I don't know if these are on StubHub or what, but I mean for thousands of dollars.
Whoa.
And all the shows are sold out. So I have a feeling that Stormy felt like perhaps the content she was getting used to the extent, and she wasn't getting her share of the money. So she came in, she stormed in, no pun intended.
Ooh,
to the Admiral,
Norman. Yeah.
And demanded they doing the contract over again. Let's look at it. I need to get a bigger piece of the pie, etc. So the show on Thursday went on very late. It was an hour late, and the show is not that long. And she's nude, and she basically does some burlesque dances to patriotic U.S. patriotic songs. You know,
including "Happy Birthday, Mr. President."
Well, here's what
wouldn't
they did.
That be cool? Well, at the end of it, the last line could be "See you in court."
Well, what they did is that Stormy was very adamant that she wanted her show to go on like it does. She says, "I've got something choreographed. I do have some variety to it, but I don't want to change my show." So, what the Admiral ended up doing was having a Marilyn Monroe impersonator come up,
a guy or a woman.
I don't know. I'm assuming it was a woman because they also had
don't. That's a mistake.
Look.
The best Marilyn Monroe impersonators are guys.
Look.
Let's just face it.
Hey, look, I gave you a chance. The next time you come into town, we'll go down to the baton.
Okay.
And
all right. That's a good point.
So let's.
I will take care of that.
Yeah,
for the viewers.
So they had a Marilyn Monroe impersonator.
What kind of club is that? What kind of club is the baton?
Oh, that's for, I don't know what you call it, female impersonators or
That's it. Cross, yeah.
That's right down the street. It's about,
the people listening don't know that. People don't know that.
Oh,
so I'm just getting it in there, okay? All right, go ahead.
I know. So they had Marilyn Monroe impersonators saying happy birthday, and they had a Trump impersonator come out. So this is all the Admiral does, all this shtick. And I think it just kind of rattled Stormy a little bit. But by the but she did come on. The show must go on. They kiss and made up, Stormy and the Admiral, you know, owner,
club, yeah.
club owner. And so the show went on yesterday. But I'll tell you, there was an article this morning in the paper. You wouldn't believe their target audience and how they marketed this. Admiral did an incredible job. The Admiral Theater did.
Good.
They went to retirement homes and got groups of senior citizens to go to this.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I love that. That's great.
It's the, so they hit their sweet spot. They, their demographics are like they're in the 60s at least. This
nice.
This show catered to the ones and it's like Stormy has this legion of fans that are you know collecting Social Security.
I love that.
Isn't
that great? That's wonderful. Hey, our peeps.
Yeah, all good. So, yeah.
Well, so John, enough of that. Question, bottom line, was your mission successful? I don't actually know. You had a mission your producer gave you.
Look.
What?
No.
Oh.
And I'm not going to, you know what?
What?
I'm not going to try to make up with excuses. But I had a lot of trouble. I mean, I was on my bicycle for a long time last night.
Yeah.
Trying
to
find Stormy. Or find out people that knew where Stormy was. But I'm not going to.
What was your mission, John?
To get her on the show.
Thank you. It didn't work.
No, producer, it didn't.
Okay, so you gimped around on your bike trying to find her? Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, not... Look, I know she's at the Admiral. Okay.
Yeah.
I just want.
That's not good enough. You wanted her in her native habitat in her hotel.
I just
Is that it?
Wanted to. I was more interested in an encounter.
Ah.
A very casual one, needless to say.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm just going to leave this because I can tell you're upset.
Oh, you hit a very sore spot. I'm sorry.
Okay. Look. Let's just move on.
Yeah.
All right.
I agree.
All right. FIFA.
Okay. You know what we've got? We've got a FIFA, a FIFA, whatever you want to call it. I'm going to leave it to you to pronounce correctly, and I'll fracture the English if you don't mind.
No. I'm used to that.
But the thing is that this is a once every 4 years experience in which the countries all over the world come together and have a soccer competition, and it is super big. I mean, it's as big as the Super Bowl, whatever, when it comes to the world participation and audience.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's all melts down to
I've compared it to the Olympics.
Oh yeah, it's the Olympics, except what it is a concert. It's so successful that other sports such as baseball have tried to copy it by having something called the World Baseball Classic. But, you know, there's no way they're going to come up with one like this. Because we've got – and this allows professional soccer players, all of them. So you might have, for example, players like from Argentina that play professional soccer in Spain, like Lionel Messi. And then now he can represent his country once every 4 years and place in the international competition like this. This started just a couple days ago. It's in Russia. They're the host country. They're the host. So as a result, they are participating in it. We've got 32 teams.
Oh, wait, you jumped over something
countries.
There. No matter how shitty your team is, if you're hosting, you get to play. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So,
okay.
And the thing is that the U.S. is not in it for the first time since 1986. The qualifying is another series of matches that starts as much as 2 to 3 years before the actual World Cup tournament.
Wow.
And U.S., it's a geographic thing. We don't want to get into the details. The bottom line is they did make it. So as a result, they're not one of the 32. But, Italy didn't make it. Netherlands didn't make it. So, but it's interesting to see some of the teams that did, the countries that did make it. And my favorite is
Iceland.
You got it. Iceland made it, and they are going to be playing in a matter of minutes. Like within about 20 minutes, They're going to be playing Argentina, which is one of the considered powerhouse countries.
We'll be able to see the last part of it.
Oh, yeah. Well, wait a minute. You don't think I'm going to let this show get in the way of me watching it, do you?
You're watching it right now, aren't you?
I will. It's on. I've got it on the station so that when it starts, I'm going to be multitasking.
Oh, my God. That's real dedication. Yeah, wow, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe I should.
Now, wait a minute. That's a lack of dedication.
Is it?
Producer, come on. Do your job.
Oh, I should be whip.
You should be whipping me for doing this.
Oh, you're right. I should. Yeah. John, talent.
Turn off that TV, you idiot. That's what you should be saying to me.
John, do you have the sound on?
Yeah, a little bit.
Don't turn the sound on. Turn the sound off, please.
Okay. I thought that maybe a little background crowd noise would be good.
Oh, wow. Is that what you're thinking?
I wasn't thinking.
Yeah.
That's what I was doing. I wasn't thinking.
Okay. So I understand, though. I understand how you roll. I've known you for a few years.
Now, one of the things we got to make clear is, you know, don't consider this to be like a sport. Consider it an event. And even if it's like, for example, I would put this on as background, and you can hear the audience participation. And based upon the sound, you can look up and see the good stuff if you want to go that route. But it's an easy game to follow. It's not that difficult. It's like they kick the ball one direction and the other team kicks it the other direction.
It's like hockey without ice skates or sticks.
Exactly. So
your foot is the stick.
Yeah. And there's a lot of stuff you're right. It's like hockey, and a lot of the stuff, there's a goalkeeper, which you've informed me and as part that it's referred to as the keeper.
Yep.
I like that.
Yeah, I do too. And the guy who's there to kick the ball in is called the...
Could be the striker, the forward. There's a variety of terms to use the offensive guys. Yeah.
That's their main guy. That's the guy everyone expects to do it. But he doesn't always do it.
Now, I'll tell you what. If somebody from outside the United States refers to this as football, run with it. Because that's what it is. Outside the U.S., this is football.
How about you and me make a pledge, okay? Anytime we refer to what we do in this country as football, we always put the word American before it. And when we refer to soccer, we'll always say football. What do you think? Can you do it?
I can do it. I'm capable.
I'm going to try, okay?
But when we take a look at the sport itself, this American football is really not as much into the foot as soccer is.
It's rugby.
Yeah, it's because you are actually kicking the ball with your foot, while in American football, you just do that.
You don't do that very often. You don't do that often at all.
So at least the rest of the world has got it right. We don't.
Hey, didn't we used to, in American football, didn't we kind of like hit the ball on the ground and when it bounced up, we'd kick it? What was that, a drop kick?
It's called a drop kick. It's a way of getting a point after. It's kind of interesting because there was a player, Doug Flutie, who perfected doing that recently. Doug Flutie did that just as sort
Bambi?
Of a... Yeah.
McMahon called him Bambi.
But the thing Steve is McMahon. That towards the end of his career, just as sort of a stunt during a game, you know, he did a point after using the drop kick, which means that you don't have to have somebody hold the ball. You get the ball. You then just drop it and kick it. And that's pretty... It's a skill set that
it has to hit the ground. It hits the ground first, right?
That's right. So it's not that easy to do because a football obviously can bounce all kinds of different directions if you
don't get
drop
the point.
He did.
That's wonderful.
It is. It's a classic. I have total respect for that man.
Wow.
So that's another story.
Another story.
The thing is that we want people to be able to converse and use a few of the buzzwords. And we can also talk about how they relate to some of our other sports. And the one we've talked so much about basketball and flopping.
that's topical, by the way. By the end of the show, we get a little point on that, don't we?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
So the thing is that in soccer, flopping is really a big part. Now, in these international competition, which is considered, you know, the elite, the top stuff, the top talent, you don't see it as much. But flopping in the regular professional leagues, particularly in places like Spain and Italy, it's almost like professional wrestling. What these guys do in order to get a penalty called on the other team is in the other team,
diving?
They will barely touch the one opponent. The opponent will barely touch a guy, and he'll fall like he's just gotten shot, you know. And then he'll be wincing in pain, like, oh, my knee or my ankle or my foot.
Do they call it flopping?
Oh. What's that?
Do they call it flopping?
They call it diving.
That's odd.
Well, it's kind of odd, but think about it. We have a sport where we've used the word take a dive called boxing.
We do, don't we?
Yeah, so in some ways it's – That's one term.
I will allow it.
Which I kind of like. And the other thing is, and I'm not going to get into the way this 32 teams gets down to the final match, but the thing is that there's two groups. There's the group competition where they pick and put four. They have eight groups of four teams each, 32 teams, and they call that the group competition. Then once they get down, they pare it down through that group competition to 16, in which they call that the knockout competition.
Wow. Wow.
Now, knockout to me is a kind of a gentle way of saying it, because here, that's what we would call here one and done. Once you get to the 16, you play. If you lose, you're out. You win, you move on. We would call that, to be nice, we might call it elimination.
A term near and dear to you.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that's something I can embrace. I that's something I look forward to. Elimination.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, isn't it, Mr. No Rectum? Okay,
yeah,
moving along.
God. So,
knockout. But there was another one that was even worse. It was sudden death. It's not
that.
Yeah,
it's like sudden death. Yeah, I mean, but usually sudden death is used in the connotation of within a game to stop it. But it can be used in that way too. I think that this is a much more gentle way, because if you get knocked out, you're just unconscious for a little while. But if sudden death kind of has a sense of finality to it.
It does. It does. Other than the concussion and, you know, possible brain damage,
yeah,
knockout sounds better.
Hey, you know what? We didn't talk about the fact that I think the more interesting maneuvers they have is the one where you do the headbutt the ball.
Yes.
To put it in. And it's amazing. These guys must do exercises to make sure that
their necks
are strong.
Yeah, you got a strong neck, but more than that, you got to know your head. And, you know, you and I watched a play at the end of that game yesterday.
Yeah.
89 minutes, 0-0. And this guy gets a pass from the corner, mm-hmm. and he's facing the guy, and he's, like, just right in front of the net. And I don't know how he did it, John, but he angled his head just perfectly. You got to have the pitch in the yaw and the horizontal axis, the XYZ. And he just had his head perfectly, and it went right into the corner of the net where the keeper could not possibly get it. It was beautiful.
Yeah, so it takes a while. I mean, there's a lot of other stuff going on out there that could be considered, some people, pretty boring. But I've been to probably, I'd say, about 40 different soccer matches here in Chicago. We have a professional team. But the fact is, you just kind of sit around. In fact, the guys I go with like to stand and watch. And we'll stand and just I like watching the crowds. The crowds are as much fun. And that's what's really – watching the Iceland fans get ready for this is just incredible.
I bet. They're really worked out. You're watching it right now, aren't you?
Well, it's not on yet, but it's getting there.
Okay. All right. John, I got to ask, what's a nutmeg?
Well, nutmeg is a this will be a catchy term you can throw out there to show you know a little bit about it. Nutmeg is when a player kicks the ball through the legs of a defender and then goes around him and then continues the play by kicking it again.
Okay, all right.
In basketball, quite often,
yeah.
You've seen it where a basketball player will bounce the ball between
the guy's
legs. Well, this is it takes it a step further. And the guy is able to be fast enough and maneuver around and get the ball. That's a nutmeg. So that's pretty good.
That is real good.
And the other thing is that although you don't see it very often, Pele made this very famous. That's the bicycle kick.
That's crazy. That's
insane. That is just mind-boggling. And that's where a player basically does a a flip. And to the extent that he's able to invert his body and kick the ball with his foot while the ball's way up in the air at approximately
upside down. Yeah. Wow.
So that's
mind-boggling. That truly is. But I have to say, I really like that headbutt the guy did. That was, I keep thinking about it. You know, I can't get it out of my head. The visual.
Oh, yes.
It was good. It was good. It was real good. Jeez. Okay, these are good. These are good terms to know. I'll throw one out there, too. I got a contribution. I heard this on NPR on the way home 2 days ago. Cow dribble. What's a cow dribble, you ask?
Oh.
Well, this has an historical background. In the early days of soccer, they very often would play on land that was pasture. And sometimes there would be a cow on the field, and you'd have to dribble around the cow. And it's called a cow dribble. And you're making your run down the field, and you've got a head of steam, and suddenly there's a cow. And you say suddenly, well, these fields weren't always flat either. So guy's got to work around the cow and keep his momentum up. And to this day, they still use the cow dribble to go around opponents, particularly if they've been injured and are on the ground like a cow would be.
Ah.
Got it?
Very good.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Be in the area all day.
Mm.
Yeah. So there we are. That's FIFA terms, ridiculous terms, I might add. Now, there's, unless you have any other stuff, you know, like that, John, I was going to ask you about, and I'm a little hesitant, mascot. Is there a mascot?
Well, I'll tell you what. I needed a little extra incentive, and I got it when I found out that there is an official mascot for the World Cup. It's not like every team has its own mascot.
Ooh.
But there is a mascot, and the mascot this year is a wolf. It's a Russian wolf. They had a competition there whereby fans could, Russian people could, you know, vote and this and that. And they came up with this wolf. I don't know how to do it. The name itself is Z-A-B.
Zabivaka.
Zabivaka. And it's, I guess, supposed to be a wolf that's very competitive, but friendly. It's a balanced thing, you know. Try to make sure don't want to make it a ferocious animal.
It's not a dire wolf.
No.
Okay.
So that's been good. And then I found out that they've actually been having mascots for the World Cup since the mid '80s. In fact, in the '90s when the U.S. had it, they had what they called the World Cup pup. Just a fuzzy, furry little critter, I guess. I didn't even look him up. Yeah. Snoozeville. I mean, come on. They got to be able to do better than that. The World Cup. Yeah. Okay, I get the idea.
All right.
Boring.
I haven't been able to use my Three Stooges snore in a while, so that felt good. Yeah, all right. So, yeah, we got that. Now, John, take us into the sponsor read, buddy. This is yours. Go.
Okay. The thing is that the World Cup has a variety of sponsors. It's just like if you had a convention or something, you have your gold sponsors, your silver sponsors. They have all that stuff. So we've got the Coca-Colas. We've got the InBev AB for beer. But what's happened is that, and this represents about $1.5 billion that they're able to come up with. So what they've been able to do is they have come up with sponsors that they've had some challenges. And I'm going to talk a little bit about some of these countries. You know, some of the sponsors that they would typically have bailed because Russia is a little bit politically dicey.
So, oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
That's the word on the street.
Well, wait a minute. President Trump really likes Russia and likes Vladimir Putin. I thought
we weren't going to mention that guy. What happened?
Oh, I failed. But it, yeah, okay. Well, the question really is did you get a sponsor for the show?
Yeah.
Is that what I mean? Okay,
His
good.
Sense.
Who?
His Sense. H-I-S-E-N-S-E.
What is it?
It's a refrigerator maker in China.
You're kidding.
No, here's the deal. The deal is that since they couldn't get these U.S. sponsors, they got desperate. So the Russians went over to China, and they ended up getting a whole another group of sponsors of the heavyweight companies, the mega corps that exist in China. Oh. And that's how they were able to fill the hole in terms of the $1.5 billion that they needed in sponsorship. So they replaced backers like Johnson & Johnson, an American one, or Continental Airlines or Continental Bank. They've got ones like the Wanda Group, which happens to be a big mega corporation. They got a dairy called Minjinu. So I figured, what the hell? I think it's nice that the Chinese that was able to come to the rescue.
And you got them for the show.
I figured there's a commercial property company called Wanda Group. I just think it's nice. I'm just going to mention these names out there. They're foreign to you at this point, probably, but it's nice.
I don't care. We got a sponsor, so that offsets your failure with Stormy.
Yeah. So
okay,
I think it's I'm kind of a business guy, so I always like to look underneath and figure what makes this work.
Yeah,
and
money,
and we're talking a lot of money. We're not just talking peanuts. We're talking big bucks. So as this whole thing unfolds, and the other reason that they've had trouble with the sponsorship is that as much as we maybe talk about the selection committee for the Olympics being rigged and a lot of corruption, a lot of money flowing through, the World Cup has had the same problems. They've had the FIFA president resign because of accusations. So it's a very, at best, political exercise to get to be the host country. So in 2022, it's going to be Qatar. It's a small immigrant country in the Middle East. Yep. And it'll be mind-boggling to see how this small country is going to be able to pull off this event and how that affects sponsorship. And we just recently, the U.S., they did a combination thing where they're going to have, in 2026, Canada, Mexico, and the U.S.
That's right.
Combined, and when you think about it, that probably will allow them to broaden their base of sponsorship.
That's assuming we're not at war with them by then.
Oh God. Oh yeah.
I won't say it. Okay. I'm not going to say the thing you don't want me to say. Okay?
You know, we're basically palsy walsies with North Korea, but God forbid we're our neighbors. We're kind of battling. It's like the Hatfield and McCoys here.
Yeah.
It's very pathetic.
Blame Canada.
Yeah.
That's a famous song from, the puppet movie that Mike Judge and his partner made.
Hey, I'm surprised that we don't have that our current regime, president, doesn't have us build a wall. Yeah, build a wall north of us, too. So we have
a war north and a war south. It's happening.
Really?
Oh, yeah, and guess who's going to pay for it?
Oh, Canada.
North Korea. No, I'm just kidding. Canada. Gotcha. North Korea.
Ah, jeez.
Yeah, Canada's paying for it, of course, obviously.
Yeah.
Just like Mexico's paying for the one down south.
Yeah, that's the only thing of comfort I have out of this whole exercise, because that is so ridiculous. That would never happen. So that's the only little sense of comfort I get out of this whole ridiculous exercise. But that's a whole...
Comic relief. It's like comic relief.
Yeah, and boy, do we need it.
Yeah. Well, back to FIFA. This damn thing goes on a while. I mean,
well, here's the thing. We talk about events like the Super Bowl, which is one day. We talk about like the World Series of baseball, which might last at best.
Well,
two weeks.
The playoffs for the Super Bowl are only a few weeks, right?
We're talking probably 4 weeks. You know, they got the extra week in there,
but it's only a few games each time.
So if you say, well, gee, World Cup started, I think I've missed it. No, we've just begun. We've only just begun. And the fact
Good
is
song.
It started on Thursday. It's going to be going through the middle of July. And altogether, there will be 63 matches.
Now, we've had another term. You threw out another term. These are not games. They're matches.
No, matches, yes.
And these are not teams. They are clubs.
Well, actually, you got to be careful because you got to get the country in there. You got to get the country in there too. Teams,
what do you mean?
Okay, Well, it's like when I think of a team, I think of a professional team, and these are countries that are represent. You know, the teams are basically participants. The players are have to be.
Oh, they're from,
that from
different clubs.
Yeah.
Ah, so it is.
So
a
this
team
is like the all. This is
called
like
from clubs.
Yeah, this is the all-star team of that country. Okay. It's taking okay. the native players. So,
well,
like I gave you
discussion.
That example. Yeah, I gave you the example of like Lionel Messi, who happens to be playing right now. I'm watching it, Mr. Producer. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Lionel Messi is from Argentina. He plays professionally in Spain, but now he's back representing his country today as we speak.
Okay, now you know what
sugar.
I think you were right before. By the way, turn the sound up a little bit just so people know we're not bullshitting.
Yeah,
let's have it. Let's have a little. Here it is.
So,
a little more.
Do you hear that?
Oh yeah, they're hysterical.
Yeah. So we unfortunately. Oh.
What happened?
I can't believe it. Iceland. It was 1-0 Argentina, but Iceland just tied it up. Holy
really?
Geez.
What? Oh, we're just at the beginning of the game. That's an extremely good sign.
Oh yeah, and you know what? Yeah. So.
Oh
yeah. This the Iceland fans are just going nuts.
This is
great. The team is actually pretty reserved. They're not getting, which is good. It's like they're acting like it's business as usual.
Well, yeah, that's the right attitude. And
yeah, it is. Like,
I wonder what percent of the country is at the game.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got 337,000 people. That's the population of Iceland. So I would imagine that they've probably got about 30,000, maybe 10% of the country's there.
Wow.
That's just a wild ass guess. Now,
wow.
This whole event, this game was sold out before they publicly sold the tickets. I mean, they basically threw the allotment or whatever. But, it's just great to see these Iceland fans go crazy.
Okay, now I think it's important at this point that our audience understands that you and I have a mission that we're on as regards the FIFA World Cup and a certain team. And you're watching that team right now. Now, John, let me just say it, okay? If you are listening to this and you are not a diehard soccer fan, if you don't have a favorite team, and I would argue, even if you do, because we're not in this, so you can really pick any team you want.
No.
Go with Iceland.
I was talking to some of my friends yesterday, and it's almost to the point where that Iceland is such a natural choice that everybody says, oh, you're just like everybody else. You like Iceland. I said, well, okay, who are you picking? And they said,
Yeah. Well, okay, I'm reasons why we want to choose Iceland. I have my reasons, you have yours. I'll give you one, then you give me one. How's that?
Ready? Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. Number one, this country is really creative and resourceful. Let's forget about football for a minute and just consider what happened to them, the big crash in 08.
Right.
They were on their knees because the idiots who had their money put it in subprime shit in the UK, and they were on their knees, and they almost went out of business as a country, and they came back from that within 2 years, and they're on top again. They are so resourceful, and they do a lot of other great stuff, but that's going to be mine. Their financial powerhouse because of their resiliency. That's another reason that we should reward them with our fan love. Go, John.
Yeah,
what do you got?
You know, I just like the idea that the first thing is it's their first time in the World Cup.
Okay.
So they've never been there before. They're a rookie.
New kids.
New kid on the block.
Okay.
I've also got the fact
that
the obvious reason is that you know, there was an article in paper said, well, here the U.S., it's got 300 million people, and this country can't make it. U.S. can't make it to this tournament, and we've got a country that's got 337. Yeah, 1% of that. And where are they? They're out there in the competition. So, I just like the idea that they've showed an allegiance to a commitment to doing something, and they've been successful at it.
Okay, I'm going to throw one out there. I got one for you. You ready for number three?
I'm ready.
Number three is a blatant attempt to suck up to my squeeze who works where you work. That would be Anya. Ooh. Anya, there's a personal message to you. This country, as you probably already know, is a leader in carbon footprint. These guys have a teeny weeny one. They are experts at geothermal, conversion of the hot stuff underneath the earth into energy. I don't think they use any carbon to create any of their electricity on that beautiful country. So that's going to be, I'm sucking up. Okay, I'm just going to say it. But I also believe in it. I believe in it too.
Anya, I think, has a, she's, and I'm sure she appreciates Iceland from that viewpoint, but she's got her, she's got a country she's following pretty closely. It's Germany.
Because she's German.
Yeah, she's German. Okay. But that's okay.
I will excuse that. I'll excuse that. That's her Vaterland. Go for it.
Yeah. So, and
she can do anything she wants. You know, I'm smitten. What can I say?
So we've got a long way to go with the tournament. And again, it's on Fox Sports. So it's on regular TV.
Not to be confused with Fox News.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just saying. Okay, so that's good. I've been following some of the games also along with you. It's exciting. It's fun. It's different for us.
Yeah.
And guess what? It will make us part of the world community. I know it's not America first, but you know what? It's world first.
Yep.
I'm going to put the world first. I can do that. John, John has a friend. I have to point this out. John has a long-time friend. Yeah. Long-term friend, Vince.
Yeah, Vince was my college roommate at Northwestern University.
First roommate, as I recall.
As a listener, he feels obligated. He wants to contribute. He wants to contribute. He feels that our show needs content. And he is willing, and he feels that he has the quality content that we need to upgrade our show.
Hey, I agree with him, and I like his stuff, but I'm just going to, as a precursor to what we're about to do, some people, and I find this very hard to believe, may not appreciate his contribution, but we do appreciate it, but we would like to know how you feel about it. So if you have feelings about what we like to call Vince's groaners,
let us know. They're jokes that you kind of groan when you hear it because they're
funny myself.
I do. And the other thing I'd like to let the listeners know that we do screen these jokes, and we only use the best of the best. This goes through a quality control process.
I'd say it's rigorous.
It's a very rigorous one.
Yeah.
And Vince will audition, you know, maybe 20 jokes, and we might select two or three of them.
Two or three. That's right. That's what we did this week. Go.
So the first one we have is, what do you call a ride-sharing service that also serves breakfast?
Let's say it together, shall we?
Eggs Uber Easy.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Okay, feel the heat coming off of that groaner. Feel the heat.
And the fact is that's the warm-up. Groaner. Okay.
Right. Let's hit the big one.
The big one.
I haven't even heard this one. I know it was screened. That's all I know. I don't know who you screened it with, but I know they were rigorous. Probably somebody
at
the bar.
Okay. Here's, what do you call a melon that is not allowed to get married? What do you call a melon that is not allowed to get married?
I have no idea.
A cantaloupe.
Oh! Oh, that's beautiful. I like that one.
Yeah, that's what I say every once in a while to this. Hey, that's one I actually like.
Wow. That's not a groaner. I'm afraid that's pretty damn good.
Yeah, that's borderline good stuff. Yeah.
While we're clapping, we owe somebody else a lot of applause.
Yes, I totally agree. And this is a person who I had we enjoyed him as a basketball player. because of his unique, unorthodox way of succeeding.
And he never got the credit he deserved then.
Never did.
And he's not getting it this week either. And we're here for you, buddy. And his name is Dennis
Rodman.
Okay.
Now you're saying Dennis Rodman, that goofball that likes to wear dresses?
Hey, what's wrong with that?
Hey,
what's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong. A little nail polish, you know. Yeah.
Bikini undies. No problem. Yeah.
This, I think, is borderline normal behavior.
I was just about to sing "These Are a Few of My Favorite Things," but I guess I won't.
No, that's okay.
All right.
You're very tolerant.
You're a very tolerant brother.
You know,
I appreciate
everybody's
that.
Making a big deal about the meeting that Trump had with Kim.
I'm sorry. Okay, we're even. Let's just call it even, okay? Okay, I said it. You said it.
Hey, you know, I was watching, and I came up with another term that people could use for the soccer. I just got to get the taste of whatever out of my mouth by calling
it soccer. Go ahead. Go.
A banana kick.
Oh, and this I know is what
a
that kick, is.
That's the one where it curves.
Yeah,
and goes into the net. It's incredible to watch.
Those are great.
Yeah,
they can go from outside.
Yeah, it's like you say. That's not going to be close to the net. And then all of a sudden,
right,
it just kind of hits that corner.
I wonder if they can do that with their head.
I don't know. I think this is strictly
a football. So curious.
So the thing is, back to the matter at hand, Dennis Rodman. So
he was key.
He is so critical.
Who opened up North Korea? Really?
Who opened the door? It was
Dennis.
Because what Dennis saw is he saw a leader, a lonely leader who had an interest in basketball, and Dennis said, "I am going to go over there, take some basketball equipment, and I'm going to hang with Kim for a while." Now, did Dennis do this just recently? No.
No.
Dennis did this during our previous president, Obama, his terms, and he was shunned. It was like...
Yes.
It's like, we have nothing to do with this. Oh,
I know.
No. This
I know.
Is something Dennis is doing on his own.
But this time, a different story. When the presidential whatever went over to Singapore, guess who was there?
Dennis decided, hey, look, in case I'm needed, I'll be there for you. And because I'm right now, I hang with this guy. I know him. I can facilitate your meeting and make sure that it's productive. And Dennis was there. He's in the background. Nobody hears about him. But as far as I'm concerned, that we ought to start recognizing this man for what he's done.
Yes.
And I think he should be considered for what's considered one of the, you know, the best
Nobel
Peace Prize,
Nobel.
The Nobel Peace Prize.
Nobel.
So let's
Nobel.
Not talk Nobel. About, and I do appreciate the efforts of, and I just want to say this, is a South Korean president, Moon. Is his name
yes.
Moon?
Yeah, it is Moon.
That man is another one who's worked in the background.
Yes,
but Dennis
he has.
Started way earlier.
And
he's
Dennis,
a pioneer in this whole exercise.
Dennis was so moved by what happened there, he actually cried.
Yes.
And it's on camera.
So
someone interviewed him and he lost it. He didn't lose it. He found it. That's what I think. Because I cry. I like it. It makes me feel better.
I think it's important for us to finish up with the fact that this man, like we said, we report the stuff that the others don't. So
that's
you
right.
saw somebody else in the forefront, which we don't like to name.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not the one who should get the credit. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And this isn't about agreements and denuclearization. It's about basketball, Dennis, and his buddy.
Yes. And you
that's
know
it.
What? It's cultivating relationships in a very slow, meaningful way. Rather
yes,
than this,
that will
like,
last.
Rather than this one-time exercise. Because right now, with the exercise, everybody says, okay, we had the meeting. Now what?
Mm-hmm.
That's what
call
happens.
Call Dennis.
Yeah.
Let's give him a call.
Let's get Dennis back in there.
Yeah.
Because he knows the way to continue the relationship.
That man was a rigorous basketball player. He studied. He watched tape. on every team he went up against. He was disciplined. He didn't even talk to
teammates. But you take a look at him and say, this guy is out there. He's out of step. He's undisciplined. But he's a method to his madness.
Genius. He's a genius. And he had the flop down. He was the best flopper in the NBA ever, I think.
The reason he was able to do that is because of his unorthodox way of approaching the game and the way he actually moved around. The other players weren't used to it. And all of a sudden, they're getting called for charging, this and that. And they can't help it because they're not used to moving in the way that Dennis kind of dictated they did based upon reacting to him.
Well, the thing is that I heard an interview with him. I watched like about an hour of interviews with Dennis Rodman this week. And the thing that he did that no one knew was he did watch these tapes. And what did he study? He decided where he needed to be on the floor based on the history of what these guys were doing. So as they come down the court, he has the ability. He said it took him 5 or 6 years to get this ability, but he knew where they were going to be. Yeah. And that helped him place himself on the floor. So it wasn't so much that he was gangly or awkward or anything like that. It's just he knew where he needed to be, and no one else did. So he seemed odd, but he wasn't. He was just ahead of the game. Let's just say it. The guy was ahead of his time. And no one's caught up with him. Boom.
That's wow.
It. Yeah.
That's it.
Hey, that's a show, buddy. 61 minutes and 5 seconds.
Sounds really good. Looking forward to a nice weekend.
Turn the sound up. Let's have a little soccer in the background as we sign off. What do you say? All right. John.
All great. Good.
We're all good. Great show. Thank you so much.
I'll be talking to you. Go.
Adios. Bye.
See you. Bye. Let's go. Hey. Oh. Let's go. The